All right. Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is another Lazarus session. Trying to raise the dead after lunch. But it is our last session. The Bible does say, he who endures to the end will be saved. So now I know who the elect are. The first session, we really talked about the importance of prophecy. The four sessions yesterday were on the topic of the kingdom. And then the three sessions we're doing this morning are really on current event issues. We talked about anti-Semitism and apostasy. Would you not agree that those things are happening today? And I just want to leave you with this last session entitled World Government on the Horizon. So let's take our Bibles, if we could, and go to Genesis 11. Genesis chapter 11, as we look at world government. You know, one of the things your kids say when you take them on vacation is they say, are we there yet? Usually you're not even out of the driveway before they say something like that. But, you know, one of the questions on the minds of Christians is, are we there yet? Are we at the end times yet? And, of course, we don't have a date because the Bible doesn't give dates. But it does give us certain signs to look for. And to me, one of the obvious signs that we are rapidly approaching the final hours of human history is the very obvious trend in our world towards world government or globalism. Have you guys noticed that trend? Okay. So we're going to do a brief look today at world government. We want to look at four things. Number one, the divine perspective on world government. And here we're going to see God actually has an opinion on it. Number two, Satan's goal of instituting world government. Number three, I'll share with you some stage-setting trends that are setting the stage for world government. And in Roman numeral 3, you'll be very depressed, so I have to warn you about that. But I don't want this to be the world's gone to hell in a handbasket type of conference, so I'm going to end with some good news, a note of optimism. You know, God hasn't shared these trends with us to depress us, but it's to give us a heavy dose of reality. And ultimately, we're to be people of hope as long as our hope is in the right thing. So notice, if you will, Genesis 11. Let's take a look at the divine perspective on world government. It says, now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. It came about as they journeyed east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. And they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower, whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name, otherwise we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, they are one people, and they all have the same language, and this is what they began to do, and now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. So what you have going on here, and this is the famous story of the Tower of Babel that we learn about many times as children in Sunday school, is really what I like to call the first United Nations conference. You have all of these people coming together. They're trying to essentially build a one-world system. They're trying to build what today people sometimes refer to as the New World Order. When you hear that phrase, New World Order, and many people use it, probably the first major politician in America to openly use the phrase in speeches was George Herbert Walker Bush, and many people have used it subsequent to him. But what is the New World Order? What are they talking about? Well, my understanding of the New World Order is this. It's a one-world system consisting of three things: politics, economics, and religion. Politics, economics, and religion, which excludes the Creator God and His viewpoint. And that's essentially what you have happening here at the Tower of Babel. You have a political system coming together because it talks about how this was a city. They were likely coming together and pooling their resources for economic reasons. And as I shared really in my first session yesterday, there was the worship of the mother and the child. Remember we talked about that? Happening. And all of this was coming together under a man named Nimrod. And if you go back to Genesis 10, verses 8 and 10, 8 through 10, you'll see Nimrod's name mentioned. Genesis 10, verse 8 says, "Now Cush became the father of Nimrod. He became a mighty one on the earth." Dropping down to verse 9, it says, "He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel." And it mentions some other names. And you'll notice that this was all happening in the land of Shinar. Shinar is that territory between the Euphrates and the Tigris. Sometimes the Greek name for that is Mesopotamia. Meso in Greek means middle, and Potamia means rivers. In fact, in America, we have a river called the Potomac, a famous river, derived from that name. And Mesopotamia means between the rivers, between the Euphrates and the Tigris. According to Daniel chapter 1 and verse 2, it's the exact same place where the children of Israel were taken into captivity. Sometimes it's called Shinar. And Bible teachers disagree on this, and I've actually had some conversations with folks here about this. But my conviction is this land of Shinar, Mesopotamia, is going to be the headquarters one day of the Antichrist. And I get that from Zechariah 5 and verse 11. The woman in the basket that's going to be set free in the end times. It specifically says she's going to be set free in the land of Shinar. And that's why the system of the Antichrist in Revelation 17 and 18 is called Babylon. Babylon is in Babylonia, which is modern-day Iraq. And it's that territory between the rivers, the Euphrates and the Tigris, sometimes called Shinar. And so it's a place of infamy in times past with the Tower of Babel and the 70-year captivity. And I believe it's a place of infamy in the future. But I'm not here to defend the location of the New World Order. Just trying to give you some background. I have another presentation on that, which I can do some other time. Just trying to give you a background on where the Tower of Babel or Babel once stood. By the way, Babel in Hebrew, and I found out we have a Hebrew expert undercover right up here. But correct me on this. B-A-B means gate, and L means God. So it literally means the gateway of God. So what they were seeking to do is they were seeking to build, to quote the Beatles a little bit, I think it's the Beatles, maybe it's not the Beatles, one of those rock groups, "A Stairway to Heaven." Who sung that? Does anybody remember? Led Zeppelin, there we go. I've got my Bible straight, but not my rock groups, so I guess I'm doing pretty well. Led Zeppelin, "A Stairway to Heaven." So it's basically a one-world system of politics, economics, and religion that excludes God. That's what they were constructing. And you'll notice that the Lord doesn't like what's happening. Take a look at Genesis 11, verse 6. It says, "The Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do, and now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them." God is saying And by the way, did you catch the "let us go down and confound their languages"? I think that might be an early reference to the triunity of God. Kind of an interesting reference there.